And our theme this year, as you'll notice at the top of your message handout and also on the orange brochure, you'll notice that our theme is this: opening blind eyes to Jesus. Can you say that with me? Opening blind eyes to Jesus. That's our theme. Of course, when we talk about that, we're not speaking of physical blindness, but we're talking about a spiritual blindness, which Brother Pesky mentioned in his video. It went along so well with this. We're talking about a spiritual blindness that causes people to stumble in the darkness of their sin. How many of you have ever tried to walk in total darkness? Raise your hand if you've ever tried to walk in darkness. You ever been in a dark room and tried to walk? The other day I was in my garage walking through, and it was totally black, dark. It was, you know, pitch black. And I'm walking through the garage, and I got the car over here. I got lawn equipment. I got baseball stuff from the kids. And it's like a maze. How many of you, your garage is like a maze? And so I'm walking in the garage, and I'm feeling like this, literally. I can't see a thing. I'm just grasping onto things, you know, and I'm trying to make my way through the garage in the dark. And then all of a sudden, the light comes on. My daughter-in-law turns the light on. You ever been in a dark room and you don't know where you're going, and all of a sudden the light comes on? What kind of feeling is that? Relief, right? Yeah, joy. You're so happy. Why? Because now I can see clearly. Here in our text, Ephesians 4, 17 through 21, the man who writes this, the Apostle Paul, is drawing a contrast between two different groups. He's describing a group that is stumbling in darkness, and then he contrasts that with a group of people that he's writing to that are not in darkness, that are in the light. And there are basically two words that are the difference between these two groups. There's two words that are the difference between those stumbling around in darkness and those who are walking in light. There is a two-word difference between the two groups, and those two words are Jesus Christ. You see, one group had heard the good news of Christ and had believed on Him and trusted Him. The other group did not know Jesus Christ, and they were in total darkness. This is the reason why our theme is opening blind eyes to Jesus. Our theme is not opening blind eyes to religion. Our theme is not opening blind eyes to church tradition. It's not our theme this month. Our theme is not opening blind eyes to even church. That's not the issue. Listen, whether or not you ever join this church is not the issue of whether or not you're going to heaven. The issue of whether or not you go to heaven has nothing to do with what you do with this church. It's what you do with Jesus Christ. And you know what? You can reject our church, and that's okay. You can reject me, and that's fine. But I implore you, don't reject Jesus Christ. That's the difference. You see, our theme this month is not opening blind eyes to religion or church tradition or higher education or political reform. And the reason why is this. In the top of your handout, it says, I want you to write this in. It is Jesus Christ that changes lives. It is Jesus Christ that changes lives. There's a verse I want you to see in your handout, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Did you notice? The verse did not say, if any man be in religion, he's a new creature. It did not say, if any man be in church tradition, he's a new creature. It did not say, if any man be in the waters of baptism, he's a new creature. It said, if any man be in what? Christ. He's a new creature. This month, you are going to meet some families that have made a decision that they are going to leave the comfort zone of America and they're going to go to foreign soil. You say, why would anybody do that, Pastor Dan? Why would anybody want to leave America to go to Zambia or Romania or Peru or South Korea? Why would anybody want to leave the comforts of America to take their family to foreign soil? And here's exactly why. Because these four families right here, their passion is to see blinded eyes opened to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. They are convinced of the end of verse 21. Look at the very end of verse 21 in Ephesians 4. What does the very end of that verse say? It says, the truth is in who? Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. And that's why they go. Because they want people to know and experience that truth. And we as a church here in the States, we've got to partner with these missionaries to help to get the message of Jesus Christ out to the world, to open up blind eyes to Jesus. Why is it so crucial that we partner with them? Number one in your handout is this. I want to lay a foundation on this first Sunday. Number one, because without Jesus, people will never understand their lost condition. Without Jesus, people will never understand their lost condition. I want you to look at verse 17. Let's go to our text. Ephesians 4:17. Listen, it's God's Word that's going to convince you, not me. So I want us to go through the text, and I want you to see this. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not. He says, you're going to walk a different way now. He says, now that you know Jesus, you're going to walk a different way. He says, you're going to walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Then look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. Notice the word darkened. He says in their mind and in their understanding, they're in the dark. Sometimes we'll make a joke and we'll say, you know, man, you're in the dark. You know, or hey, you know, she's in the dark. What do we mean? They don't get it. They don't grasp it. They don't understand. They're not comprehending. They're in the dark. He says that these folks are in the dark. Why? Why? Why would they be in the dark? Well, in your handout is a statement, and I want you to tell me, who is the ruler of darkness? Who is that ruler? Satan. I want you to get that statement in your handout. Satan is the ruler of darkness. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, right here in this very book, he talks about how Satan, the wiles of the devil, how that he's the ruler of the darkness of this world. What's Satan's goal? Look in your handout. Satan's goal is to keep people in his kingdom of darkness. He's the ruler of darkness. He wants to keep people in his kingdom of darkness. There's a verse in your handout there, 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Look at it with me. In whom the God of this world, that's not a typo. There's a little G, that's not a typo. We didn't make a mistake. That's the way the Bible reads. In whom the God of this world, little G. Who is the ruler of this evil world system that we live in? Satan. That's a reference to Satan. Look at it with me. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. What do you think the key word of that verse is? Yeah, circle that. Circle that word blinded. He's blinded the minds. Did you notice the mind again coming up there? Satan does not want people to understand the darkness they're in. He doesn't want the people in Zambia to know they're in darkness. He wants them to think they're witchcraft or whatever they're doing. He wants them to think that's the way, man. That's the way to get things done. That's the way to worship. He doesn't want them to understand that they're in darkness. He doesn't want them to understand where the darkness is going to lead. He wants to keep them stumbling around in spiritual ignorance. And that's where the importance of Jesus Christ comes in. I want you to look at your handout and notice the two verses at the bottom. And I'll give you the blank here in a minute, but look at it. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in, what did he say? Darkness. You follow me, you don't walk in darkness. But shall have, notice you follow Christ, you've got the light of life. Look at John 12:46. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in what, church? So how do I get out of Satan's darkness? Jesus Christ. Exactly right. In your handout it says, there is no light apart from Jesus Christ. There's no light apart. So listen, question. If the people of Zambia, if they're going to get out of the darkness they're stumbling in, how are they going to get out? Jesus Christ. They have to know, they have to understand about Jesus Christ, or they're going to stumble around in spiritual darkness. They're going to have no clue of the eternal condemnation that's awaiting them when they die. They're not going to have any clue. They're going to keep stumbling. If you turn your hand out over, look what Jesus said here, John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Rob, come here. Josh, come here. Shannon, come here. Get these guys to help me. Now look at this illustration, okay? Josh, come up here. You stand right here. Rob, you stay there. Shannon, you come over here. Now, Josh here, pretend like he's someone in Zambia or here in America that you know, does not know about Christ, and he's spiritually blinded. He does not know Christ. Remember, without Christ, there's no light. He doesn't know Christ. He doesn't know about Christ. So, therefore, he's in darkness. So I want you to act like you're blind, okay? Act like you're blind, right? Now, Shannon's going to play Satan. All right. Now, Satan's desire is to take him by the hand, right? And you're going to lead him around. Now, what Josh doesn't know is Satan's leading him this way, and this right here is a cliff. And this cliff is a cliff that will surely lead to death if you fall off. Now, Satan is taking Josh, he's leading him, and Satan would be very pleased to lead him off the cliff, correct? Wouldn't that just delight you? You'd love it, yeah. Now, Rob here, he is someone who knows Jesus Christ. He knows the light of life. He knows where light's to be found. He knows what will heal and cure him of his spiritual blindness. And so you see, Rob's job as someone who knows Christ is to jump and stand in the way and say, stop!
Stop!
Right. And he yells, stop. He shares Christ with Josh, see? And now once you share Christ with him, now watch what happens. Open your eyes. Your eyes are open. You see the cliff. You see the cliff you're on, and you go, wah! Right. And so now you know Christ. You're able to break free from the bondage of Satan. He cannot lead you anymore. And now you can walk with Christ away from the cliff. Right. Exactly. Now, come here, guys. Let me ask you a question. Without somebody to intercede, without somebody to stand in the gap, without somebody to care about this man, what would have happened to him? Eternal death, eternal condemnation, eternal lake of fire. You see, without someone to stand in the gap, without somebody to enlighten his darkened mind to the knowledge of Christ, Satan would have just had his way. Satan would have had his will. Satan would have taken him right off the cliff. And he would have died in his sin and spent eternity separated from God. Without someone there, he's doomed. Do you guys see the importance of getting the light of Jesus Christ to Zambia? Do you see the importance of getting the light to people that you know without Christ? Someone's got to be there. Someone's got to stand in the gap. Thanks, guys. Let's give him a hand. Thanks for that. Thank you. You played Satan really good, Shannon. Good job. Yeah. There's only two groups of people in the world, right? We said last week, remember, Acts 28, in our study through Acts, there's two groups of people, those who believe not. But let me just boil that down another way. There are two groups of people in the world. There are those who are in the light, and there are those who are in darkness. There are those in darkness. Without Christ, there's no light. So therefore, we have to conclude that if we do not get Christ to people, if we do not get the message of Christ out to them, then they are destined to stumble in darkness, which is going to lead to their eternal death. Number two, in your handout, the second reason why we need to get the gospel out and we need to partner with missionaries is number two, because without Jesus, people will never know true divine life. Write that in. The blank is life. You say, where do you get that from? Well, I want you to look at verse 18 in our text. Verse 18. Notice Paul describes these lost people. And he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. These people that Paul is describing are alienated from the life of God. He said through the ignorance that's in them. What are they ignorant about? It's not that they're ignorant people. It's not that they're stupid. It's not that they're not intelligent. It's that they're ignorant about the light of life. They're ignorant about Jesus Christ. And because they're ignorant of Jesus Christ, they are in turn completely devoid of the life of God. Do you remember when you were devoid of the life of God? Do you remember when you were in darkness? You say, well, I never was. Yes, you were. Look back at Ephesians 2:1. Look what the Bible says back in Ephesians 2. Go back a chapter or two. Go back to Ephesians 2:1. He tells these believers who had trusted Christ, he writes to him and he says, and you hath he quickened who were, what? Dead in trespasses and sins. How many Christians were once dead in their sins? All. There has to come that point in time where you recognize that you're dead in your sins and that you need life. You need light. Look at verse 12. Same chapter. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul said, you know what? You were without Christ, you were without God, and you had no hope. There are so many people that live day in and day out, but yet they never know true life. They get up, they get a shower, they go to work, they work all day, they go home, or they go to a bar, or they go home, they eat, and then they go to bed, and then they get up and they do it all over again. And they never know true life. The Bible says that they have no hope. There's really no hope. There's really no meaning to their life. They have no hope. Why? They're without God in the world. They're without Christ. What is the answer? How can people know true divine life, church? Well, let's look at the next verse, Ephesians 2:13. Look at the next verse. Right when he gets done saying they were without Christ, without God, without hope, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, he said, you've been made nigh. You've been brought near to God by the what? By the blood of Christ. Hey, do you know how we're reconciled to God? You know how we get light? You know how we get life? You know how we enter into a right relationship with God? Look at the verse up on the screen. Let's bring it up. Colossians chapter 1. And having made peace. Christ made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and you were enemies in your mind. Remember your mind was darkened by wicked works. Yet now, because of what Christ has done, yet now hath he, and isn't that a beautiful word? That's the opposite of alienated. Instead of being in a state of alienation, once you know Christ, you are now what? What's the last word? Reconciled. You are now reconciled to God. Oh, I like that. I'm not alienated, Brother Rob. I'm reconciled. Are you reconciled? Have you been reconciled to God through your faith in Jesus Christ today? I hope you have. If not, you need to get that settled. Do you know that you're in a right relationship with God? Do you know that you have life? In your handout, it says Jesus came from heaven to earth with the good news that people could have life. Oh, he came from heaven. He came down and he walked this earth and he had good news. You can have life. Look in your handout, John 6. 33 and 35. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life. Circle that word life. Giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of, circle that, life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at the next verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Circle that word life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Would you guys agree with me that's good news? Now, question though. Jesus Christ walked the earth and said those words to those in Israel. Is Jesus going to go to Zambia and tell them? No. Where's Jesus right now? Physically, where is he located? He's at the right hand of the Father, where the Bible says he maketh intercession for us. Is he going to leave the glories of heaven today, go down and talk to him in Zambia? No, not going to do that. Then how are the people in Zambia going to know they can have light and life through Jesus Christ? How are they going to know? People. That's right. People like the Peskies. That's how they're going to know. You see, Jesus Christ came with a great message, but he's not here anymore. And if those people are going to hear that there's life in Christ, if they're going to know there's light, it's going to be through people like you and me. People like the Peskies. If we don't care, they're destined to stay alienated from the life of God. They're never going to know true eternal life if we don't care. And that's why we sung that song this morning. Do I care, Lord? That's a penetrating question. Do I care, Lord? Or are we so comfortable that we have our houses and we have our air-conditioned cars and we have our padded pews and we have our churches and we take for granted we got our youth groups and we know we can go to the youth group and we can hear the Word of God 3 or 4 times a week and we can go to church and hear the Bible 3 or 4 times a week at church and we can be comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with having a house or an air-conditioned car or having a boat or having a big screen TV and all those things. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you this. When our focus is that and we no longer care about lost souls, then we know we've gotten off base. We know we're not where we need to be. Do we care? Do we care? Do we care that there's people in Zambia that have never even heard of Christ, that they're heading off a cliff? We've got the answer. Do we care? There's people in Romania. Do we care about the people in Peru? Do we care about the people in South Korea? Do we care about these people? Do I care, Lord? Or like that song said, when I die and I have to stand before Christ, is that when I'm going to finally decide to care? But like the song said, then it's too late. I'll have no way to share at that point. I've got a way now. Oh, I can make sacrifices of my time. I can make sacrifices with my money. I can make sacrifices to go on a missions trip. I can make sacrifices to be an encouragement to a missionary. There's a way to show I care now. But when I die, I can't care. I can't show that I care at that point. You see, I think sometimes we get so comfortable, we forget that there's millions of people that don't have life. They don't have life. They're stumbling in darkness. They don't even know they're in a lost condition. They're like this. They're like the illustration. You know, Josh is heading like this. Satan's got him by the hand, and they're heading for a cliff and don't even know it. Don't care. Unless someone's going to stand in there and say, wait a minute, whoa. You're heading for a cliff. You're heading for eternal condemnation. But there is a way for you to be reconciled to God. Number three, we need to care. Because number three, without Jesus, people will remain as prisoners to their sin. People will remain as prisoners to their sin. I want you to go back to our text. Will you please flip back over to Ephesians 4? And I want us to continue and look at verse 19. Look how he describes these people who are lost. Verse 19, who being past feeling. Do you know what that means? That means complete and total apathy. Who being past feeling have given themselves over. Do you know what that means? It means to surrender or to put in prison. They've given themselves over. They're in prison to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Hey, they're like this, man. They're in darkness. They're stumbling around. But they don't know any different, so they don't care. There's apathy. Until some, you say, well, what hope is there? The hope is for someone to come and preach the gospel of Christ. And when you preach the gospel of Christ, then that produces conviction. And that conviction shows them they've got a need. It moves them out of that apathy to where they will realize that they're in prison to their sin and to Satan. In your handout it says, Satan takes members of his kingdom of darkness and keeps them in total bondage. Christ, on the other hand, is all about liberty and freedom. Christ is all about liberty. He's about freedom. The Bible says that Satan wants to keep people in bondage to him at his will. But look what Jesus said. Look in your handout. John 8, 32 and 36. Jesus said, look at it now. Ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you what, church? Free. If the Son therefore shall make you what? Free. Ye shall be what? Free indeed. Three times we see the word free. Aren't you thankful that we've got a Savior who's a Savior of freedom? He loves freedom. He loves freedom. Walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Look at verse 20 of our text. But ye have not so learned Christ, he tells these believers. He describes the lost people, and then he says, but you've not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. In your handout it says, Christ sets people free from the bondage of their sin, so that they're free to love. They're free to live a meaningful life that can impact others and touch others. You know, Christ comes and what he does is he sets you free from selfishness. He sets you free from pride. He sets you free from greed. He sets you free from materialism and covetousness. He sets you free from sexual sin and these things that are listed here. He sets you free from that. So what are you talking about? Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth. You see, once you come to know Christ, you've got light. And you realize, I don't have to live a lie anymore. I can speak truth. I don't have to be a liar. Verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. I don't have to be an angry, hateful person. Verse 22. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. I don't have to steal. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Christ sets you free so that now you can live a life that is a meaningful life that touches other people. But Christ cannot change a life that has never heard about him. Let me ask you this. Has Christ changed your life since you learned about Christ? Do you think Christ can change lives in Zambia the same way he changed your life? I believe so. I want you to notice in Ephesians 4, verse 20, that the Ephesians had to learn. That's the exact word he uses. They had to learn Christ. Verse 21 talks about how they had heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How had they heard Christ? Christ never went to Ephesus physically. How had they heard Christ? How had they been taught about Christ? How had they learned Christ? Think about that. Think with me. Christ's ministry was confined to Israel. Christ never went to Ephesus. So how in the world did they hear him, been taught by him, and learned Christ? As the Bible says, I'm going to tell you how. Here's exactly how it happened. Pretend you're Ephesus, okay? Here's how they learned of Christ. Here's how they heard about Christ. Because one day, a man walked into town and decided, I'm going to Ephesus. And he went to Ephesus, and he walked into town, and he began to share with those people who were heathen idolaters, steeped in heathenism and paganism. This man began to share with those people Christ. And they learned of Christ through this man. They were taught of Christ. They heard him. Who was that man? The Apostle Paul. There was a day and time in history when a man named Paul decided, I'm going to Ephesus. And he went to Ephesus and he spent 2 years there, at least 2 years, preaching and teaching and explaining to sin-darkened minds about Christ. And he began to enlighten their minds. And there were people who heard him. And there were people who responded. And Paul taught those people about Christ and the difference that he could make in their life. Many of them believed on Christ. And do you know what happened? Look at the screen. Acts 19 says, and many that believed came and confessed. This is talking about these people that right here in the book of Ephesians. That's the people this is talking about. Many that believe, they believed on Christ. They believed Paul's message came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts. They were idolaters. They brought their idolatrous books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Christ had changed their life. Why? Because a missionary came to town and told them the truth. They were doing this. Satan had them by the hand, having his will and way with them, leading them as he wanted to. And Paul stood, like Pastor Rob did a minute ago, and said, wait a minute, hold on. Let me share with you light. Let me give you some light. Let me enlighten you. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus and what he did for you. And many believed, and he changed their lives. And that's why we have to partner with these missionaries. That's why we've got to get them to the countries where they're going. You know, get the Peskies back to Zambia and the Nispels. They haven't even gotten to the field yet. The family that's with us next week going to Romania. They haven't even got there yet. They're just trying to get churches to partner with them so they can go. And that's why we've got to have a part in helping. Because there are people that are in desperate need of a lifeline. Can you imagine if you're on a boat, somebody falls overboard? And they're drowning minute by minute. They're just going down more and more. And you've got a life jacket or a life preserver. And you've got the way to save their life. And you hold the life preserver and just stand there on the deck of the ship. And you just watch them slowly drown. You say, that's terrible. That's awful. Folks, listen. We've got the life preserver that can save people from eternal condemnation. We've got the life preserver. We've got the lifeline. You say, well, what is it, Pastor Dan? It's Jesus. And we have the lifeline. What kind of people are we if we don't have a part in helping to toss that lifeline out? In your handout, it says, if we don't toss that lifeline out, it says in your handout, if not, they will drown in their sin. And then look at that question at the bottom of your handout. Will you be a part of helping to open blind eyes to Jesus? And we're going to talk about that over the course of the next month. How can you be a part of this great work that God's doing? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.